Good morning, and welcome to our Easter service. As we begin this morning, I'm going to ask you to start by closing your eyes. I want to paint you a picture. It was early in the morning, still dark. The dawn just starting to cut through the fog. The air hung heavy with expectation, as if the earth itself were holding its breath. The echoes of the cross linger. His voice still rings out. It is finished. Into your hands I commit my spirit. The story comes to us in pieces and fragments, hints and images. A vineyard garden. Grapes ready for the harvest. A stone rolled away. The guards asleep at its side. A pile of clothes folded in an empty tomb. Peter and John running in with disbelief. Walking out with questions, but also with hope. But Mary stays behind to weep in the garden, and we weep with her, for there is so much loss, so much grief, so much death. With her, we look up, and through her tears, we see angels seated in victory on top of the stone. "Do not be afraid," they tell us. "He is not here. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here." From the garden, she hears a voice. "Why are you weeping? Whom do you seek?" She still cannot see. The sun is just rising. She is muttering with explanations. But Mary's heart starts beating with tremors of hope. "Whom do you seek? He is not here." And like a voice from heaven, she hears that voice, the voice she's longing for. The gardener speaks her name, "Mary." Jesus looks at you, and Jesus speaks your name. The world is new as he speaks your name. You are made new as he speaks your name. What the angel said was true, and it is still true today. Jesus is alive. Jesus walks. His heart beats in victory. Easter is announced by every breath he takes. Easter means that love has won. Death is finished. Satan is doomed. Evil is conquered. God is good. Love's redeeming work is done. It is finished. It is finished. He is not dead. He is alive. And that's why we come to gather. That's why we worship. We gather in spirit, even though we can't gather in body, to celebrate that he is alive. Amen. Our scripture reading today comes from Romans 6, verses 1 to 9. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. So far our reading. There's no more significant phrase in any human language than these three words. Christ is risen. It's an incredible claim, for if it's true, and it is true, then everything we know about life and death is turned completely upside down. This morning, these three words fill our mouths and they thrill our hearts. For Jesus' resurrection brings hope to those who are living in despair. It brings joy to those who are overcome by grief. It brings life to those who are living in death. There's simply no more significant phrase ever spoken than our joy-filled Easter proclamation. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. For the last number of weeks, we have been thinking about the good news we believe as Christians. We've been thinking about how we confess the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've been trying to each narrow it down to just 7 words. Each week, we have looked at different examples, like Jesus frees us from all our prisons, or God gives real life in Christ alone. Jesus refuses to leave his people alone. Or my Jesus gives hope, light, and life. These are all good examples and they're helpful. They reflect a deep and profound part of our faith. And this Easter morning, I'd like to craft one more version of the gospel. But this doesn't mean I don't expect to still hear all of your gospels in 7 words. I do, but that's going to be for a later date. On this great day of resurrection, I'd like to try and capture the significance of Jesus' victory over the grave using only 7 words. The first 3 words are already said. I've already said them. Christ is risen. And there's no better way to start. But we've still got 4 more words. 4 more words to capture what makes Jesus' resurrection so significant for us. So as we've been doing all Lent, let's see if we can summarize the Easter Gospel in 7 words by finishing the sentence. There are a number of directions we could go. We could say, Christ is risen. Let's go hunt eggs. Maybe you did find some eggs this morning if you managed to have some at home. It's a common tradition to have, and there's nothing wrong with that necessarily, unless it takes you away from the true focus. Christ. So how about instead, Christ is risen. Let's get breakfast. I've got to say, breakfast is my favorite meal, but I'm not about to focus on that when I'm thinking about Christ. But that's the thing with Easter. We often get focused on the other elements afterwards, the getting together for meals, the family meals, that we almost think that's the main part and going to church is just what you do to get there. Perhaps some of you think of all those family traditions and how usually you have everyone home for Easter and think, Christ is risen, the gang's all here. But that isn't happening this Easter, at least not with your extended family. Truth be told, we all know these aren't things that are even close to the gospel. The good news is so much more significant, so much more life-changing, so much more consequential than these Easter traditions and celebrations. So let's think about some other options. Christ is risen, just as he said. That one works well. Before he died, Jesus told his disciples he would rise from the dead. Several times, actually. John 2, 18 to 22. Matthew 12, 39 to 40. Matthew 16, verse 21. And it wasn't just Jesus. The prophets of old, who lived hundreds of years before Jesus was even born, had foretold of these events as well. Luke 24, 45, verse 47. We'd be mistaken if we thought of Jesus' resurrection as just one more biblical miracle, or even if we imagined it as simply another sign of God's might. No. Jesus' resurrection was the fulfillment of God's word throughout the ages. It was the core of God's meticulously crafted plan of salvation. Jesus had promised he would rise from the dead, and when he did, he proved his divinity. He vindicated everything he had ever said and done. Because Jesus rose, we can trust everything he said throughout his life and ministry. So how can we capture all of that in a seven-word confession? Well, how about Christ is risen, just as he said? That's true, and it's very significant. But Easter is about more than past prophecy. Easter is also about the future. So let's try another. On Friday, we talked about the fact that death rules as Lord over this broken creation. None of us can outwit or outsmart or outlast death. The slow and steady march of life is always leading us another step closer to the grave. And yet, the resurrection of Jesus shows that death is no longer in charge. Because of Jesus, death is no longer our master. We still may die, but even if we do, death is no longer the end of our story. Through faith in Christ, and through the promise God makes to us in our baptism, we will live even after death. So how about these seven words? Christ is risen, so we'll live forever. Also true, and that's incredibly significant. It means we need not fear death, and that we have hope for eternal life. But even as Easter is about more than past promises, it's also about more than just eternal life in the future. Because Easter also changes everything in the present, right here and right now. Easter changes every single one of us. In his letter to the Romans, Paul talks about baptism. He says this: we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Romans 6, verse 4. God's gift to us in baptism is an Easter gift. It is the gift of resurrection. and not just resurrection on the last day, that eternal life. No, God's Easter gift to us is new life here and now. And the truth and impact of that statement should not be lessened by this chaotic, upside-down world we now find ourselves. Because remember, Christ is risen. And everything we know about life and death is already turned completely upside down. It's a new life in which God raises us above all that is wrong with this world. He raises us above guilt and shame, for Jesus left our sin in the tomb. He raises us above selfishness and greed, for Jesus provides for all that we need. He raises us above resentment and anger, for Jesus fills us with joy and peace. He raises us above anxiety and fear, for Jesus carries us when we are in need. How many of you are familiar with the Footprints poem? I'm sure many of you are already nodding, knowing exactly what I'm talking about, but I'm still going to read it. It goes, "One night I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you left me." My Lord whispered, "My precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never, ever during your trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." This is what Jesus' resurrection means for us. That God can walk by our side for our entire lives. No longer pushed away because of our sin, he can pick us up and carry us without us even knowing it. God's arms must surely be pretty big because there's a lot of people needing picking up right now in the world. But I know he's up to it. Because of Easter, we don't need to live in fear or shame. Because of Easter, we don't need to work so hard to serve ourselves. Because of Easter, we can forgive those who have sinned against us, for Christ has forgiven our sin against him. It's called new life, and it's what God gives you and me here again this day. It's not a promise that everything will be perfect if we just trust in him. It doesn't mean God will protect us from everything that might harm us. But it does mean that he'll be with us through whatever happens. I don't know the details of what you're all experiencing. We've been sharing some of what's going on in all our homes. And even if I did, I know I can't truly understand how each person feels. This coronavirus and this being stuck at home is affecting us all differently. But I know that God knows what you're going through and that he is there for you, even if you don't see him. This Easter, which I think I can safely say is unlike any Easter ever before, I want you to know and believe the good news of Jesus Christ. I want you to find the peace and joy that God offers us in light of Jesus' resurrection. I want you to believe and to confess this incredibly good news of the gospel, even if right now it's just to yourself. This morning, we're going to make it simple. Just 7 words that changed our lives forever. Christ is risen, and in him we rise. May God grant it for Jesus' sake, today and every day. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in a time of prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you with songs and prayers and listening hearts, even if they're just sung by ourselves. Lord, we try to obey your will. You have created and are creating. You're bringing life and hope and love. You come in Jesus, your word made flesh, to reconcile and make new. In a culture where the power of death gets all the headlines, your Holy Spirit summons us to be people shaped by your power to work resurrection. We're not sure we believe as fully as we think we should. We're not sure we trust as deeply as we think you require. But we bring who we are and what we have become into your presence. We draw near to you wherever we are, longing to know your grace and love. Forgive what has gone wrong. Repair in us what is broken. Reveal in us what is good and turn us toward it. So may we follow wherever your Spirit may lead. May we love with the love of Jesus flowing through us. May we body, mind, and spirit be children of the resurrection. Children of hope. Children of grace. And may that grace, as shown by your Son's resurrection, be upon us and this whole, and the whole world at this time. Amen. Have you ever noticed that's the space that holds everything we believe? It's the gap, the void, in which we place everything we fundamentally believe. In that space, the emptiness of tombs, lies the fullness of our faith. And in such spaces, we believe. When the void is found, the emptiness of the tomb is met. It is then we trust the resurrection, and that what Jesus said is true. We remember what he told us and believe. It's kind of obvious that you need an empty tomb for resurrection. But you need that emptiness to have a full faith, filled with hope and possibility and what might be. An emptiness that God can fill. So may we step into this emptiness and believe the life Jesus spoke of might be true. The love he held to might be true. That the words he spoke might be true. Because there is only space where death ought to be. This possibility of life, this resurrection of spirit in every empty space is our new hope. Wherever you are, whatever you're facing, as you go today, know that Jesus rose to give you new life. Go and believe into the void.